Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. At their last meeting, City Council passed additional conditions for the Integrated Care Hub to maintain their funding from the city. The motion was brought forward by Councillor Gregory Ridge. Councillor for the Kingstown District, where the Integrated Care Hub, the Consumption Treatment Services Site, and the Bell Park Encampment are located. Councillor Ridge proposed that Addiction and Mental Health Services, KFLNA, the lead on Integrated Care Hub operations, submit a security and safety plan and form a community consultation group in order to maintain funding from the city for the Integrated Care Hub. Along with these conditions, it was also proposed that city staff collect data from Kingston Police, Frontenac Paramedic Services, and Kingston Fire and Rescue regarding calls and visits to the Integrated Care Hub and the surrounding neighborhood since the hub was established in 2020, to compare with data of other areas in the city. This data collection and analysis will be completed by the end of March 2025. Councillor Ridge opened the discussion, sharing his reasoning behind bringing forward the motion.
We have to recognize that these services are essential, that they save lives. We also have to recognize that there has been a negative impact on the community there, and I'm sure that once the data is reviewed, that we'll have a better sense of what that negative impact is. But anecdotally, based on the hundreds of interactions I've had with constituents that live in that area, they would overwhelmingly say that that's the case. And we also have to take that into consideration. The only way that we as a municipality can make a positive difference is to recognize that both of these realities are true and to move forward in a way that works for everyone. And if we don't do that, we're going to be doomed to fail over and over and over again. Ultimately, these are a way to try and create trust in the community again, to create trust in the city, to create trust with our partnerships, and to address the needs of everybody here. Let's be clear about what this motion is not. This is not about punishing the ICH. This is not about punishing the staff. This is not about punishing people using your services. This is about trying to help everybody.
Councillors discussed the motion, mostly agreeing on the importance of the added conditions, and with hope that this is a move in the right direction for all Kingston residents.
Simultaneously, we can support consumption treatment centers and the services of the ICH and still recognize that is having an impact on the community. I remember canvassing 2 years ago up Montreal Street, which is several blocks away, and members of Rideau Heights talked about the impact that the ICH was having in several blocks away from it. So it is having an impact on the community here. I always think the city works better when we get as many people involved and engaged in the service as possible. When we take away any misconceptions of what it is, any misconception of what a service is. And I think that that's a key component here that in some ways has been kind of missing. That component of bringing the community on board with this. And I'm heartened by this, and I hope it works out well, because I think we have to prove to the province of Ontario, which I want everyone to keep in mind, that this works. Consumption treatment centers are under the eye of the province, and we have to make sure that we're showing that these services are vital and essential. They save lives. And I mean, the part on data collection, that just makes sense. We have to, the more evidence-based decision-making we can have, the better policy outcomes we will do.
This is a really interesting case of multiple truths, which is something I find we talk about often around here. So as Councillor Tozo mentioned, yes, we have these services, and yes, they are critically important, and yes, they are impacting the near neighbors. And neighbors that are a bit further away as well. The time has come that, yes, we absolutely need a community consultation group. It just makes sense. So I want to thank you for bringing this. As you mentioned, Councillor Ridge, you know, there's a lot that we can't control, but I think that this is one small step in addition to the other items in your motion that can have an impact, and acknowledge that, you know, we care about everyone in our community, and that doesn't mean decisions are easy, and sometimes that means you're displeasing others to please, you know, certain people, but at the heart of it all, I think what we're trying to do is the right thing.
This motion also comes after the events of September 12th, where two people were killed in an attack on Montreal Street, close to the Bell Park encampment and the Integrated Care Hub. The Integrated Care Hub has been closed since, and the neighboring Consumption Treatment Services site just reopened on October 17th.
I think seeing those incidents a few times, it is the right time to put everything into the right direction, work together, inclusively the city staff, all the community stakeholders, the organizations, and everyone who is involved there. And I really appreciate all the work behind the scene the community organization and community partners has been doing, influencing us to keep the ICH open and try to provide. So this is very, I think, insightful for everyone to see what direction we are taking to making sure the safety and security for everyone, inclusive the people who will use the service and people who are living in that neighborhood.
The terrible tragedy of September 12th has been mentioned by several other councillors, and I purposefully avoided mentioning it at the beginning, with the deaths of Taylor Wilkinson and John Hood. And while that is an impetus for renewed focus on safety and in general, I think with all of the partnership, this motion seeks a more holistic approach to what's been going on. Noting publicly that those incidents did happen in the encampment and not in the ICH itself. This motion is an effort to recognize an incredibly difficult situation, an incredibly complex one, and the only way that we can ever solve issues like this is to have an honest conversation about what's going on. And if we polarize ourselves to one side or the other, where we're only recognizing, you know, the benefits as opposed to the harms, then we're the harms as opposed to the benefits, we're not doing anyone any favors. And we're not going to get a solution that works for everybody.
Just before the end of the discussion, Councillor Jeff McLaren brought concerns to the table about these extra steps leading to overworking and burnout for ICH staff, and how this could impact the future of these services and Kingston's only safe consumption site.
So what I see here is that they're being forced to do extra work when they're already short-staffed. It seems to me that it's a way to get them to do a worse job by overwork, and I think we're contributing to that. We heard from somebody who seemed to be connected to this that they do not want the extra work, and at the same time, we need some of that data. That data, that's the other interesting thing about this. Based on what I've heard, partly at AMO and some of the requirements that I've heard recently from the provincial government, I think they're looking for a reason to kill this. And I think this is going to help. Not sure what to do yet.
The motion passed with a vote of 12-1, with Councillor McLaren opposed. Addiction and Mental Health Services KFLNA will be taking the lead to form the community consultation group before the end of November. Councillors expressed hope that the community consultation meetings will be held on a regular basis by winter. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report. The Queens Gaels were in action on Saturday for their homecoming clash against the Waterloo Warriors at Richardson Memorial Stadium. The Gaels entered the contest with a 4-3 record and playoffs already guaranteed. The Warriors, on the other hand, entered the game with an 0-7 record, looking for their first win of the season in the final game of the season. The Gaels got the scoring started early as Anthony Leo would connect with Nathan Falcone on this play early in the first quarter.
They got Nico Cuomo on the right side in isolation. However, this pass is going to be slung over the middle. Nathan Falcone, a beautiful pass and catch from Anthony Leo to Nathan Falcone to get the Gaels on the board early here at Richardson Memorial Stadium.
It was a historic day for two Gaels in particular. All-Canadian kick returner Ian St. Arnaud crossed the 1,000-yard threshold, setting a new mark of excellence for the Gaels, and running back Jared Kasari, with this carry early in the first quarter, found himself rewriting the record books as well.
The Gales 54. It's going to be another handoff to Kasari. And Kasari, he has got a first down and then some. He is running, cutting, weaving through traffic. And he nearly had the ball stripped, but he kept it moving. And that will move him past the great Brad Elberg for sixth place on the all-time rushing list. Following his block, such an intelligent young man, such a smart, cerebral runner, and ever explosive.
Late in the first half of Saturday's game, backup quarterback and multi-position athlete Russell Weir would tally the play of the game with a designed quarterback sneak that would turn into something truly special.
As Russell Weir, instead of just sneaking it straight forward, is breaking out on the right-hand side. Russell Weir has got one man to beat, and he will do so. Number two on a quarterback sneak breaks it wide and gives the Gales six more points. Mr. Do-It-All did it all on that one. 31-0 for the Gales with a chance to make it 32.
Russell Weir's 60-yard touchdown scamper gave the Gales a 32-0 lead heading into the half. The Waterloo Warriors would respond early in the third quarter with a 1-yard touchdown run from quarterback Nick Orr, but the Gales would bounce right back with this touchdown throw from Anthony Leo to fourth-year wide receiver Nico Cuomo.
Going through his progressions, looking for Nico Cuomo. Cuomo, my goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown deep in the Gales end zone, with 6 points on the board. Beautiful pass from Anthony Leo. Nico Cuomo, his third big play of the day. That's why we call him Big Play Quay. My goodness, have yourself a day, Nico Cuomo.
The Gales would go on to win 54-7, securing their second consecutive 5-3 regular season record and setting up a playoff rematch with the 5-3 Windsor Lancers. These two teams met in the season opener on August 24th, a game that Windsor won at home by a score of 25-21. Kickoff is scheduled for 4 p.m., but do tune in at 3:45 for the Something in the Water pregame show. From the CFRC Sports Desk, this is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
Now for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight we're expecting a few clouds with fog patches developing overnight. We have a low of 10 degrees. Looking forward to tomorrow, Tuesday, October 22nd, we have a mix of sun and cloud, becoming sunny in the morning. We have fog patches dissipating in the morning and a high of 20 degrees with a UV index of 3 or moderate. Tuesday night, we'll have clear skies with a low of 14. On Wednesday, October 23rd, we'll have a mix of sun and cloud with a 70% chance of showers. We're also expecting a windy day with a high of 20 degrees. Wednesday night, we'll have cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers and a low of 5. On Thursday, October 24th, we'll have clear skies with a high of 11, and Thursday night, clear skies with a low of minus 1. Finishing off the week on Friday, October 25th, we're expecting a mix of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 12 degrees. Friday night, we'll have cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers and a low of 6. That wraps up your weather report for this evening, and next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC traffic report.
This is Jesse Bell with your weekly traffic report for the Kingston region. Pavement rehabilitations will take place along Highway 401 between Westbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass and on to the Sir John A. McDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Highway 401 eastbound at Highway 15, full mainline closure, October 21st, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., October 22nd, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., October 23rd, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., and October 24th, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. The Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard ramps will be closed October 22nd through 24th, 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. Road closures. Princess to 486 Albert Street is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street at Stewart Street is closed until 7 p.m. tonight for road reconstruction. Charles Street, Bagot to Montreal, is closed until October 25th to accommodate new utilities installations. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th, is closed until October 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. Road will be open to local traffic only. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick is closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. The Tragically Hip Way to Place d'Armes is closed October 23rd at 8 p.m. to October 25th at 4 a.m. for event-related storage and parking for the Arkells at Slush Puppy Place. Union Street, Willingdon to Albert is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. University Avenue, Union to Earl is closed for construction-related activity at the Queen's J-Duck. Wellington Street, Main to George is closed until October 22nd to accommodate construction-related activity for the Berryfield Highlands Subdivision Project. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen Street for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins phase 2 of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles / Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. MacDonald Boulevard at Elmwood, expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. MacDonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road.
Thanks so much. On Monday evening, Kingston Jazz Society presents a free concert by Chantal Thompson at the RCHA running from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Folks can also head over to the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts to enjoy the Dragon of Wantley performance starting at 7:30. Tickets start at $10. On Tuesday evening, head over to the RCHA from 4 to 7 p.m. for another great edition of the weekly Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam, a free event. You can also drive out to the Cove Inn and see pop folk artist Nolan Hubbard from 5 to 8 p.m. by donation. On Wednesday, you can take a ride on the Wolf Island Ferry and pop by the Open Mic Night by Mike Rapkins at Hotel Wolf Island, a free show starting at 7 o'clock. On Thursday, check out Ben Kaplan along with Princess Towers at Broom Factory from 7:30 to 10 p.m. Tickets are $25. The Saxabells are also playing a free show that evening starting at 5 p.m. at the RCHA. Jen Calder is also playing live originals and special favorites for free at the Grizzly Grill from 8 to 11 p.m. on Thursday. Coming up on Friday, you can see Miel Azevedo, Lily and Dillygaff for free at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 onward. The mansion also hosts a short walk to Pluto, the Vanier's in Montgomery on Friday starting at 8 p.m. Tickets are $15 at the door. Slush Puppy Place will also have the Arkells with Poolside playing on the Big Feelings Tour on Friday night starting at 8:30. Tickets start at $41. Also on Friday, KPP Concerts presents Sky Wallace and Ash Malloy at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30. Tickets are $20. On Saturday, you can check out the Big Fat Horn Band for $30 at the RCHA starting at 8 p.m. Also on Saturday, the Grad Club presents My Chem Echo Romance featuring Echoes, Hollywood, and Shook Planet from 9:30 onward. Tickets are $15 at the door. You can also enjoy the live premiere of Austin Wintory's Traveler, a Journey Symphony at the Isabel. Tickets range from $10 to $52 that evening. And also on Saturday night, The Mansion is hosting a pop-punk emo night featuring Monac, Futura Free, The Backsteps, Alterna, and The Listen Ups. Tickets are $10 for this five-band show starting at 8:30. And on Sunday, check out some lovely folk music by Eric and Megan at the Cove Inn, a by-donation event starting at 5 o'clock. And Roswell Rehearsals is also hosting an open celebration jam at their new space. Tickets are $20 and the fun starts at 4 p.m. And now moving over to the community events calendar for this week, folks can head over tonight from 5:25 to 7 p.m. for loggers and joggers at Riverhead Brewing Company. Be sure to dress for current jogging weather. The Brass and One-Eyed Jacks will also host their weekly trivia games as well on Monday night, starting at 7 and 7:45 respectively. Also on Monday, head over to the Kingston Penitentiary to enjoy Pumpkin Inferno from 7:15 to 8:45. Tickets are $21. On Tuesday, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. You can also grab your runners and head over to Lululemon that evening at 5:30 for a weekly fun run. Jog, mingle, and have fun, and the run is for all ages and abilities. Also on Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m., there's a newcomer men's group hosted by Immigrant Services Kingston, an area where newcomer men can meet other newcomers at 837 Princess Street. And folks can also enjoy Terror Tuesday at Fort Henry with a screening of the horror film Us. Tickets are $15 and the show starts at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, head over to the Rideau Heights Community Center for the Fresh Food Pop-Up Market, featuring fresh, healthy, and affordable food options between 2 and 5 p.m. Also on Wednesday, Kingston Community Health Centers is hosting a fun and friendly craft session from 9:30 until noon, a drop-in opportunity for folks who want to drop in on Wednesdays this fall and meet new friends and craft away. Folks can also enjoy weekly singing for self-care, connection, and a more beautiful world at the Fiercely OK weekly singing community held at Chalmers United Church, a drop-in session starting at 7 p.m. Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing are also hosting their trivia night starting at 7 o'clock, and One Eye Jacks will host North End Board Games Night starting at 7. On Thursday, Kingston Community Health Centers will host a senior social group for individuals 55 plus from 9:30 to 11:30 p.m. And on Thursday, starting at 7:15, folks can enjoy Dark Night at Fort Fright, a weekly event running through Halloween. Enjoy scary attractions with costumed actors with your family and friends. Tickets start at $30. And the Domino Theater is hosting performances of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde through November 2nd. Tickets range from $10 to $20. And of course, the Grad Club right here at Queen's University is running its free and hugely popular weekly trivia night every Thursday, starting at 8 o'clock. On Friday, October 25th, the YMCA will also host its weekly fresh food market from 9:30 to 12:30, a great opportunity to get fresh food at great prices. And also on Friday, Pumpkin Inferno at Kingston Pen is still running various days through the end of October. Check out amazing hand-carved pumpkin exhibits with family. Admission is $16 to $21. On Saturday, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, there is a casting call for a short film called A Christmas Story in Kingston. Actors of any gender that look 14 to 19 years of age or 30 to 50 years of age can head over to Petalworks Cafe and Studio between 2 to 4 p.m. Inquiries should be directed to info@creatopiastudios.com. Also on October 26th from 9 to 2 p.m., the Sydenham Women's Institute is holding their Fall Craft and Bake Sale, an event showcasing a variety of local vendors selling homemade artisan gifts and delicious homemade baking. The event takes place at Golden Links Hall, 4186 Colebrook Road in Harrowsmith, and admission is free. And also on Saturday, October 26th, don't forget to head over to the Broom Factory between 1 and 3 p.m. to hang out with lots of amazing bands at the Music Merch Market. CFRC will also be there DJing. Stop by our booth. And on Sunday, get up and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. with your friends. Folks and families can also head over to Fort Henry on Sunday and multiple dates through the end of October for Fort Fright to check out the Ghouls and Goblins, special effects and sound, and amazing actors starting at 7:15 through 11 p.m. Admission is $25. Also on Sunday, October 27th, the team at Martha's Table Community Program will host the annual Empty Bowls Fundraiser 2024 at Doubletree by Hilton at 1550 Princess Street. Come and support a great cause while enjoying a variety of soups, take home a handmade bowl from the Kingston Potters Guild, listen to live music, and bid on amazing silent auction items. Tickets can be purchased at marthastable.ca. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event you would like to add to our online or on-air calendar? Reach out to us today via cfrc.ca. And don't forget to follow us on CFRC on Instagram at cfrcmusic.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.